They've been labeled by the Justice Department a criminal enterprise, their precious metals trading desk, and six of their traders are facing RICO charges, racketeering indictments, which would enable them to go after JP Morgan as a whole. That's the whole premise of racketeering charges. That's how they got Al Capone. Ted Butler would tell you that he believes they're setting up to double cross the other commercial banks. There are four or five commercial banks that have held these huge short positions, JP Morgan being the chief conspirator. Once it took this country 300 years to create $800 billion, and in a period of 3 weeks, Federal Reserve, U.S. Treasury have created $5.6 trillion with the keystroke. It's immoral, and it's frightening.
Are they just talking about government debt, or are they talking about everyone's debt?
That part I haven't figured out yet. I can't see how they can talk everyone, but government debt for sure. I mean, yeah, I think that that's exactly what would happen. And personal debt may be a stretch, maybe mortgage debt, I don't know. But the bottom line is that a new system is on the horizon as far as I'm concerned. When you talk about destruction of the dollar, it's happening right in front of our faces. It's happening
right now. It is absolutely
plain to see. $5.5 trillion created in a month is immoral as can be. A trillion seconds ago was 31,688 years ago. The numbers are so big they'll never be paid back. At the lowest interest rates in human history, they were accumulated in. Heaven forbid interest rates rise.
Well, don't you think they're just going for broke? Because they might as well use what they can now before they turn the system over. So they're just using it all while they can. And then
yes. Go full modern monetary. That is what they're doing. They're trying to get as much out of the system as they can before it just collapses. Or they just start all over with a new system and a new currency and a new system free from debt, at least everyone's debt forgiven on an international level. And I think that that's coming. I really do. I think it is coming. There is no other reason for them to have reclassified gold last year if it not to be a major, major, major focal point of what's coming.
What's this going to happen to our dollars? Are they going to have any value? I mean, is it like all our savings will be wiped out?
In that scenario, kind of like what they did in India a year or two ago, you have 60 days to turn in all your dollars. You would like to believe that it holds the same type of purchasing power. But I would think that one new dollar may have the purchasing power of 1,000 of these dollars in the respect that, you know, you don't have to go back too many years. Go back to the 70s. A brand new Corvette was $3,000. Now it's $100,000. Our dollar has lost purchasing power. The GI Bill life insurance policy after World War II was $10,000. Now that doesn't even buy you a funeral and a casket. So the point of it is that maybe a new system, we retain our value, but maybe we don't have as many zeros in our account. In other words, maybe you have $1 million in your bank account, and when you wake up the next Monday morning, you have $10,000, but each dollar carries much, much greater purchasing power. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, how much do you think like gold or silver would be? They would be depreciated the same, I mean, that same amount, or do you think that'll go up a bit? So then
if you have gold backing a new world reserve currency, it would have to be multiples of where it is now in order for them to have maneuverability. If you kept it where it is right now, they would have no ability to continue to create currency units. And the dollar, the world reserve status is far too big for it to be priced at $1,600, $1,700 an ounce. It would have to be north of $5,000 or $10,000 an ounce, pegged to it at that level. And then it would never come back down. And there are guys like Jim Sinclair who have been saying this for years, that gold will go to $10,000, will be pegged to a new world reserve currency, will never come back down as a result of it. So these are all supposition what-if questions and guesses.
Yeah, who knows? Well, but there's also this backdrop of the Eastern countries wanting to get away from the U.S. dollar and have their own deal. And they value gold and silver way more. Gold in particular, way more than the Western countries. I mean, that's been their whole...
There'll be a two-tier system.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There'll be a Western and an Eastern two-tier system. The BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, have already created a SWIFT system mirrored, a system that mirrors our SWIFT system, so that they can usurp the U.S. dollar SWIFT system, which is the way that the U.S. punishes people if they don't like their behavior, like they did to French bank Parabank a year or two ago, where they fined them $4 billion for dealing with Iran. Who the hell are we to tell another country who they can or can't work with? And of course, Parabank paid it, or they would have been kicked out of the SWIFT system. If you deal in dollars, you must go through the SWIFT system. That's why a lot of Europe is signing on to this new Eastern system that mirrors the SWIFT system. You also have the petro-yuan oil contract bond issued by the Chinese for the last 2 years, where they denominate a bond. They buy oil from countries like Iran and natural gas from Russia, pay for it with a bond denominated in yuan. But that bond is immediately convertible into gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. And that's probably why Shanghai Gold Exchange has delivered 90 times more gold than the Western price setting mechanism of the COMEX over the last 2 years. So you already have two things in place: how to usurp the dollar for the purchases of, and to settle outside the dollar for natural gas and oil, and also a system that usurps the SWIFT system, not to mention unilateral trade deals with all these countries that is usurping the dollar. So there's no question that the East wants to have their own autonomy. I think you will see an Eastern bloc and a Western bloc currency, both of them tied to gold. It's the only way that you will get legitimacy anymore after what the governments have shown repetitively to do to currency. They've chosen the easier of the two paths. Rather than austerity, they choose inflation. And I think that's human nature.
That's true.
And so, I think that will certainly play into effect moving forward into account, whereby no one's going to drink the Kool-Aid unless it has gold in it. And so I think this time the reclassification of gold screams to that. Hey, it's going to be the backbone of a new world reserve currency. And in that respect, I would see it going higher than anyone ever thinks possible. And we will wake up one morning and see it well north of 2,000. Very soon, I think. And I don't think it'll edge up. I think it'll come on the heels of a bank defaulting in Europe. You know, right before coronavirus, all we were talking about was repo, repo, repo market, repo market this, repo market that. The overnight repo market, which is still in tatters, the Federal Reserve is putting $1 trillion a night into the repo market to keep the banks and the hedge funds liquefied. For your listeners who don't know what the repo market is, it's the bank repurchase market. Repurchase agreement, meaning treasuries are used as collateral. So I'm one bank, you're one bank. I borrow money from you. I give you treasuries as collateral. I agree to repurchase those treasuries from you the next morning at a spread of usually 1%. In September of last year, those spreads went up to 10%. And it's because of the term called rehypothecation. Rehypothecation means that one asset is sold to multiple people. Bonds used to be bearer bonds. You held a bond, the bearer of that bond could trade in the coupons for money. Now every bond is digital. So these commercial banks figure they'll ring the cash register and sell the bond that they sold to you, to me, and to 50 other people, or 100 other people, or 1,000 other people. And everyone owns the same bond. It's called rehypothecation. They figure, A, we make enough money every day to pay for all this if we have to, and B, they don't all sell at the same time. So let's ring the cash register up front, and we'll deal with it down the road. Well, because of that, they don't trust their own balance sheets, nor do they trust each other's. And so the banks backed away from one another, no longer lending to each other overnight. The Fed had to step in to liquefy the market, to the point of $1 trillion per night to keep the banks from going belly up and the hedge funds from imploding. $1 trillion a night. That's as much as spent in 16 years in the Gulf War. And largely, that is due to their exposure to derivatives, which are largely dependent on two things. One, interest rates. Well, when we see interest rates heading to zero across the globe, over $20 trillion in negative yielding interest rate investments across the globe, and counterparty risk. You're seeing all of these corporations, mothballed. People aren't working. Counterparty risk has never been greater. So derivative contracts are blowing up. And so the Fed is stepping in to stop that from happening by putting $1 trillion a night into the repo market to keep the banks and hedge funds from imploding. So I think we'll wake up one morning and we'll see a major bank collapse, maybe Deutsche Bank or something like that. And that systemic reaction, you'll see gold go to levels that you can't believe and it'll never come back. And I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to inch up. I think it's going to just pop up just like that. And people are going to be like, damn it, I missed it. And this brings me back to what I've talked about for the past 20 years. I have been saying repetitively, the market will be defined in two ways. One, by people from the outside who've never owned any gold, it will only be defined by extraordinarily high prices. Too late, missed the ball, darn it. People like you and I who own gold and silver, Sarah, and the people who are listening to this right now who own it, will understand the high prices, will see the high prices, but will characterize it and identify it differently. They will identify it by the inability to source product. For the past decade, I have had repetitive difficulties in sourcing product from the five major mints of the world in times that were at very best tepid in terms of demand. They run out of product all the time. They're constantly running out of product and shutting down in October or November, long before they're supposed to. They've always been the model of inefficiency. They've always been poorly stocked with supply. You add massive demand to this industry. Like as an example, in 1980, the average allocation of precious metals in the United States was 8% in a portfolio. Today, before this started in November, December of this year, that allocation was 0.5% in the United States. Now that number is growing right now. I sense it growing. But if you see a revision to the mean of the 40 years, that mean average is 2.5%. That's a fivefold increase in demand in a market that cannot hold it. That will break, a supply chain that can hardly even hold all the demand it's seeing right now. If every person who has $100,000 to their name in the stock market pulled out $2,500, just 2.5%, and bought gold with it, bought 1 ounce of gold, or let's say 2 ounces of gold for $3,000, that 30% increase, or that increase of only 3% in people's portfolio, would be over a fivefold increase in this industry. There'd be nothing left in a matter of days. So I guess all I'm simply trying to say to you is that demand in this industry is, I think, only just beginning. Supply is broken. And I see a market that will be defined going forward by people who own gold as high priced, yes, but more so as very, very difficult to find anything worth buying. So that I do believe.
Well, let me ask you, how much we see craziness everywhere, right? We see the markets. We see the gold now being a tier one asset. We see the Eastern Bloc countries coming up with their own currency. We see global recession, depression, 33 million people out of work. We know that they're talking digital currencies. They want to reset this. We see it all happening right now. If you haven't been paying attention, then I don't know what to tell you, but it's so obvious it's going on right now. So are we seeing the end game of the reset right now? And when do you think it'll all come to the head? Do you think it'll come to the head before this presidential election? And do you think they need to get Trump out so bad so that they can control this reset?
If I had to guess, it comes before the election, and it comes as a result of a second wave of the pandemic. They're opening the country, and it's going to come back. It is. It's just a matter of how hard it hits us. And if it hits us really hard and you see March all over again, maybe even worse, I think that the reset happens much quicker. I think that if Trump really is fighting the deep state and they really do try to get him out, it's going to happen in November. It's going to happen before the election. You can see it by the releasing of Flynn, that they are going after the deep state. For them to, you're not going after the FBI, you're going after President Obama, who they're saying knew of the wiretapping. So if you really are going after that, if you are opening that Pandora's box, and I wish him all the best of luck, Godspeed. I think the chances of this happening before the end of the year grow every single day, because the only thing that has really kept Trump's approval ratings high is what the economy has been doing. And if they really want to mess with him, blow up the economy, and then you will have.
And that's what they've
Yes.
done.
Yep. And they will continue to try to do that.
Yeah, I think they're
Yep.
purposely doing it
And
right now
ends the economy.
and killing people by giving people the wrong advice on what to do. Because if we do get a bad coronavirus or even a bad flu season, they're locking everybody in their homes. We're not building up immunities. I mean, it's like they're doing everything wrong.
Well, think about it. How do you kill a Keynesian-based economy? Think of the Three Little Pigs story. The one house that the pig built out of bricks, well, that's Austrian economics. That's an economy or a house that's built out of savings, investment, and reinvestment. So for people who have savings and investments and reinvestments in their investments, they can weather this type of a turndown in the economy for a long time because they have savings. But the little pig who built the house out of straw, that's everyone here in this country who live paycheck to paycheck, who 40% of the country cannot come up with $400 if they blow out a set of tires going over potholes. You're dead in the water if you're that person. And I feel for those people. And it's going to be very scary as that plays out. Absolutely. And look, the next thing on the docket is the states that are going belly up. In the next 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to see several states that are going to need to be bailed out. So this is all coming to a head very, very quickly. No question about it.
I just posted an article about how there's a biblical wave of bankruptcies coming in a short order here that will probably shock the average
Yeah,
person.
because of the derivatives. That's exactly right. And I guess one of the things that I always find distressing and comical at the same time is how the people in this country have such short memories. Everyone is just forgetting already what's where we are, and they're looking to optimism. And that's great. I'm not a pessimist. I am a realist. But I think in having optimism, you also have to sprinkle in realism with it as well. And people are a little bit too excited to get back into the economy, get back into the swing of things. And I think that you're going to see a big awakening come this fall. So, in March, we were doing 400 orders a day. And now we're doing half of that. It's still very, very brisk, but not like it was in March. People panicked in March. And now, when they should be accumulating it, when the product, the supply chain is a little bit backfilled, they're not. It's a much more quiet time right now. I think that this is exactly the time that we need to be reluctantly preparing. And because I think it's coming again. And if I'm wrong, great. Then we can chalk it up to being wrong, to looking at it the wrong way. But by buying some gold and silver, by mitigating your exposure to the equity markets, by going to cash, by buying some more supplies, taking better care of yourself with vitamins and getting outside and getting some vitamin D, doing the things that we need to do, well, those are really, really important. And we need to keep doing those and not lose sight of it. But to think that this is behind us, and that we're on the road to brighter days, I think is a mistake right now. I think we still need to be defensive and wait and see how this plays out. Because whether you're talking the way bull markets and bear markets work or the way pandemics work, they both follow predictable patterns. Both are following the exact same pattern that we've seen before. In the case of the markets, they fall by 35%, just like it did in 1929. It starts to come back up through time and optimism. And then by May of 1930, the market had turned back over again and lost 90% of its value by the end of 1932. So from October of 1929, after the crash, till May of 1930, there was a lull. There was calm. There was a renewed sense of optimism. You have President Hoover saying, get back into the water. Everything's okay. The worst is behind us. And by May of 1930, everything turned south and the market lost 90% of its value. I see that happening here.
It could happen. The timing will be different, but yeah.
Yes, the timing will be different, but the same pattern and the same thing is true with the virus.
Exactly.
It
Yeah.
comes in one big wave. People lock themselves down. It quiets down, and then they come back out, and you get hit with the second wave unprepared with no immunity. So I think that if that happens, things get really crazy second half of the year on many levels, whether it be economically, whether it be with my industry, whether it be with insurrection, people not being able to feed their families, broken supply chains with food. Who knows? I wish I were more optimistic, Sarah, because this isn't how I talk. I've been buying gold and silver every 2 weeks for 30 years because it's wealth to me. I never miss a two-week period, and I've never bought it. I never saw these times coming like we see right now. I always thought the markets would crater, but I never saw something like this where people are afraid to leave their house and a complete and total destruction of a Keynesian-based economy, which is reliant on spending and consumption. That's the straw house. And if you stop spending and consumption, that blanket of debt just collapses upon you. And that's where we are right now. And I think it's only going to get worse before it gets better, unless there's a cure, some form of a cure.
There is hydrochloroquine. I mean, that's why it makes me mad, because I know we have hydrochloroquine. I know that we can get our immunities. I know that there's a way to deal with, and that's why I think they're doing it on purpose, because they're doing everything wrong. The mass majority of the people could be treated in the hospital. I mean, it feels like it's on purpose to destroy the economy, destroy whatever's going on, do a reset, purposely hurt millions of people, and it's plain.
That's an acceptable rate for the people. You know, 2-3% death rate is probably acceptable to get to what they want. And so, yeah, it's very frightening, and it is scary. We are doing things the wrong way. And God bless people like you, Sarah, who tell us all that we're doing things the wrong way, show us why we are doing it the wrong way. And I agree with you, but it's because of that that I think we're not out of the woods yet. And
well, yeah, it's clear when you walk around and you see everybody following like little soldiers, everything they're telling you to do wrong. And so it's maddening for me to see it, because I don't know what more we can do as far as bringing in the best doctors we can to educate people. You guys are doing this wrong. You're killing yourself, literally. And they just, because these gods on high from the CDC and the federal government are telling them to do it. And so they just, I mean, how much more your show, we just had a whole show about all the things that were going on that was misleading people from a monetary standpoint. How much more evidence do they need that they don't always get the truth, you know, from the mainstream media to start to critically think, to protect themselves? I mean, and that's the whole point of this show from a monetary gold standpoint. So you kind of hit a nerve with me, because I'm scared for people because they're just not doing the right thing. So when it comes to their safety net with monetary, we've been talking about gold and silver. How can they reach you? What is the best way to get hold of you? So, I mean, I just recommend, you know, you get in other things, diversify, especially, you know, the mantra is buy when it's low. And a lot of people don't have much money, but they can buy some silver. And in the definition of buying what's low, how can it be any lower than it is today? You know, I mean, you're buying silver at historical human history lows. Yeah, you might not have to be paying lows because the spread's higher because they're full of shit and holding down the price. But you for sure, that's the definition of the right time to buy. Okay, so how can they reach you, and give us your little spiel here on how they can reach you and get what they need?
Sure. And don't forget, too, buying it at the lowest level when the most sophisticated group of traders on the planet are cornering the physical supply. So that should be all you need to know there. Couple of things. One, it's important to note that my company is located in the state of Minnesota, just like you. And as a Minnesota corporation in precious metals, you have to be licensed and bonded. It's the only state in America where that's true. This is a federally non-regulated industry where several companies have stolen north of $2 million, $200 million rather, from the public in the last 5 years. And those companies shut down and in prison, largely the biggest online retail companies, Tulving, Bullion Direct, and Northwest Territorial Mint being the three big ones that have gone under in the last few years. Stealing money from people because it's federally non-regulated. In the state of Minnesota, we are licensed, We are bonded with a seven-figure surety bond. We are background checked every year. Myself and all principals and employees are background checked every year. And continuing education and compliance that makes doing business in precious metals in Minnesota the safest place in America, period. In fact, 99% of the companies outside of Minnesota will not do business in Minnesota. They boycotted the state because they would need to be subservient to the Commissioner of Commerce the way we are, no matter where they are, if they sell 1 ounce of gold into the state of Minnesota. So for your listeners, it's the safest place to buy gold and silver in the United States. Licensed, bonded, background checked. We've been doing this for 30 years. We've never had a customer complaint. We do publish a daily newsletter. We are one of only 24 companies ever approved by the United States Mint to authorized as a reseller of their product. And we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So all of those things are great in a federally non-regulated industry on top of our accreditation and bonding by the state of Minnesota. For your listeners, all I would ask is that they email me directly, not my firm, me. Email me at andy@milesfranklin.com and put Sarah Westhall in the subject line. Be as specific as you can with your questions. I will answer every question myself or pass it on to one of my most trusted brokers between the three of us. And there's only two I've dedicated to working with your people on top of myself. We will answer the questions promptly and guarantee the lowest price to your listeners in the country. Any printed price online, I'll beat. And I'll make sure that your listeners get educated as well. We are not an online company. I have chosen specifically to be analog in a digital world as it pertains to precious metals. There's too much fraud out there. There's too much identity theft, and the computer hackers are far too sophisticated. For an hour, we could talk specifically about things I've seen in this industry that would freak you out. Like, you cannot believe people are that sophisticated.
And too much tracking, right? I mean, you're not under the same surveillance level if you do it the old-fashioned way, you know?
Which I prefer to do. I think there are a lot of things, and you know what? It's funny, Sarah. Through all of this stuff, being locked up at home, I've discovered old-fashioned things, like actually talking to your family at dinner, like actually playing board games, cards, doing things that we used to do, you and I, growing up here in the 80s, you know, when we were young kids back then, but not so much anymore until this has happened. So old-fashioned is not such a bad idea, and actually it's kind of nice. And when you talk about spending money on precious metals, I am accountable, I'm accessible. That's the best I can offer in a world of impersonality and emails and voicemails and box stores. I choose to take the other path, the one less traveled, of accessibility and accountability. People can call me 7 days a week on my cell phone. They often do. But suffice it to say, mention what you're looking for. We will reply back with prices. We'll reply back with questions answered. Or we'll ask you to call us, or we'll call you. But just put Sarah Westhall in the subject line, and either myself or one of my two dedicated brokers to your listeners alone will reply back promptly, answer questions, give prices, make sure your listeners get the best treatment and the best price in America. That I can promise you. And I just appreciate being associated with such an excellent person like yourself who's fighting the good fight. And I know what it takes to stick out and to do those things that you're doing. I admire you and I appreciate you and your listeners. So I'd like to help by making it a little easier for them and giving them a good price and at the same time educating them on what they're doing.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And you know, we're in such a crazy time, and I think it's just a little safety net for people that have a little bit that they can put forward, whether it's, they don't know where to put it, and at least it's one other area to be safe. So I appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this. So thank you so much, Andy, and be well.
I'd love to come back, Sarah. Whenever you need me, whenever you have a question, whenever stuff's going on, then you just need a little clarity about what's happening in precious metals, please invite me back. I'm always just a phone call away.
Okay. Thank you. I will. Okay. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks. Take care of yourself. I hope to see you again soon, and I hope to talk to your listeners as well.